You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio from right down in Gadsden, Alabama. I'm talking about we got local, state, national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. We're covering the segment of the show that I call Live Free or Die. Talking about the Second Amendment and the suspension thereof, supposedly, by the New Mexico governor just this past weekend. Listen, you've heard some of my commentary as we led into the topic, but I want to bring on a guest here in a moment. Bob Barr is somebody who, basically, if you're a conservative, you've either read his stuff, heard him speak, or you know of his career at the very least. He was a U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Georgia, appointed by President Reagan back in the 80s. He also, by the way, served as a congressman from the 7th District of Georgia from 1995 to 93. He's an attorney by trade. I can appreciate that. He also chairs an organization called Liberty Guard, which is a nonprofit organization that protects civil liberties. He also, by the way, he was a Libertarian nominee for president in 2008. A prolific writer. You can find his stuff on places like townhall.com, Daily Caller, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a number of books he's written. Here's the bottom line. For the purposes of our conversation, aside from all of that, he is also the first vice president of the board of directors for the National Rifle Association. So without further ado, after that long intro, let me go ahead and bring in Congressman Bob Barr. Congressman, welcome to Right Side Radio.
Phil, it's great to be with you and your listeners today. And although your introduction was a little bit long, it was 100% accurate. I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your service to the country and to conservatism in general. But let me ask you something. First of all, I mean, with your position on the NRA board, would you be able to address from the NRA's perspective what you see in New Mexico right now?
Well, the perspective of the NRA is the same as the perspective of you and probably almost every one of your listeners, and that is anybody who understands the Constitution of the United States and particularly the Bill of Rights and particularly the Second Amendment, which guarantees to the people the right to keep and bear arms. And from that perspective, whether you're looking at it as an officer of the NRA or simply as a parent concerned about protecting your children against violence and drug abuse, what the governor of New Mexico and the Secretary of Public Health in New Mexico have done is not only idiotic in terms of trying to address the drug problems and the criminal gun problem in New Mexico. It's counterproductive, but it is probably the most blatant thumbing of the government nose to the Second Amendment that I've seen in a long time. I mean, the governor, that is, doesn't even make a pretense for pretending it's constitutional. She knows it's not, but she says, hey, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I think what we have here is one of the latest trends is let's declare an emergency so that we can suspend civil liberties so that we can maintain our powers during the emergency that we declared. I mean, it's really a catch-22 the way they've set it up. Wouldn't you agree?
Not only would I agree, but you've really put your finger, Phil, on something that is important that we look at in a lot of states. Even in my home state of Georgia, similar to other states, a vast majority of which have similar emergency laws on the books that have in many instances been on the books for decades that give a governor vast powers if he or she declares a, quote, emergency. These things have been slipped in there, and you know, if you have a good governor, they're not going to be abused. But if you don't have a good governor, one who cares about the Constitution and the rule of law, like the governor of New Mexico, these longstanding emergency powers statutes can be dredged up whenever a governor feels the need to do so and can just stamp out, temporarily at least, fundamental constitutional liberties that we have, not just the right to keep and bear arms, but the right to engage in commerce and transportation and so forth. You know, people in every state ought to take a very hard look at those laws and demand that they be scaled back. Because, you know, here in Georgia, for example, a governor, you know, we have a great governor right now, Governor Brian Kemp, but if we didn't, the governor could declare an emergency, and it's very ill, vaguely defined, and do all sorts of stuff in addition to limiting Second Amendment rights.
Well, and I've said on my show multiple times, I'm an attorney myself, but I'm also just a lover of liberty in general. But I've said on my show multiple times that the First and Second Amendments were First and Second for a reason. And if we lose the First and the Second, it's going to be really hard to keep all the rest. I look at this governor's actions, and she didn't even, you said it yourself, no pretense. She even said, I think in one of her quotes, she really knows this was about establishing the parameters of the debate. And I think what she's saying is, I wanted to do this to generate the buzz and to generate the possibility of a lawsuit that maybe we can do something with. There's nothing about protectionism here. It's about power, and it's about, you know, reducing gun rights.
And the fact that you have a governor who feels that secure in her power that she can just wantonly declare a constitutional right to be basically null and void for basically an indeterminate amount of time, because, you know, you look at there were two executive orders that she signed, one on criminal gun violence, the other on the drug abuse problems in New Mexico, and says, oh, these are of unknown duration. Well, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
Of unknown duration. You know, so these things could go on far beyond the initial month that she says the specific restrictions might be in effect.
Well, you know, COVID was 14 days to flatten the curve that took 2.5 years to get rid of. But let me ask you this, Congressman. I mean, you being a first VP of the NRA's board, there have been two lawsuits filed almost immediately over the weekend that I'm aware of. One was filed by the National Association for Gun Rights. The other was filed by the Gun Owners of America. Is there a plan of action on behalf of the NRA? Where do you see it going? What actual practical stance are y'all taking on the issue?
We're certainly monitoring it very carefully, and we're in touch with the folks in New Mexico. But I don't want to kind of get ahead of our legal department in terms of specific steps that we might be taking. But rest assured, we're monitoring it very carefully, and we'll take some very solid steps to help the people of New Mexico, because this is something that cannot stand for the people in New Mexico. And if it's allowed to stand in New Mexico, it will then, of course, as we've seen in other states like New York, California, be used as precedent for these other states as well. So this sort of thing has got to be nipped in the bud.
Well, I agree, and there's already been some protests, and I suspect we're not through seeing them, but Daily Caller, one of the sources that you write for periodically, Daily Caller, it reports as of last night, there's already been a large gathering of New Mexicans who were walking around open carrying their firearms in protest, and the police did nothing about it, because I feel certain that the vast majority of law enforcement does not like being put in this position.
They don't, and we see the same thing in some of these other states. I recall a couple of years ago, the sheriff in Los Angeles County telling Governor Newsom that I'm not going to start arresting people. This was under some of the COVID restrictions. If a law enforcement official, sheriffs in particular, who are elected by the people and take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States, are put in the position of being told by a governor to enforce a clearly unconstitutional executive order, it puts them in a very difficult position. And some of the sheriffs in New Mexico are doing the right thing and saying, we're not going to enforce this. We're not going to penalize people for exercising their constitutionally guaranteed right, despite what the governor says they can't do.
Well, and she is she's in a class of liberal leadership that seems intent upon pushing their limits of late. And I'm not aware of any. I'm asking you if you are. Is she flying solo right now, or are you aware of any other states that are considering joining in the fray on this this type of a public health order?
I think she is basically carrying the administration's water as a test case to see what goes on here. We know in New York, for example, right after last June of last year, the Bruin decision, the state of New York passed a law that was even worse than the Sullivan Act that gave rise to the Bruin decision. New Jersey did the same thing. California, what these states do is they watch for a particular decision that either supports or does not support what they're doing, and then they build on that. So what the governor of New Mexico is doing here, I think, is sort of putting a toe in the water on behalf of the administration, the Biden administration, that would like to see what happens here and is probably receiving encouragement behind the scenes from them, as well as from states like California and New York and a number of others as well.
I would agree. And I'll wait and see. I can imagine some Washington State or Oregon State or some of the others that who knows. But right now, I think she has tried to establish herself as, like you said, the test case for where we are. What I don't know, though, is how in the world does she intend to enforce this? Because, you know, one of the things that I saw during my time in the state legislature is there's times when you can have a really neat idea. It's completely unenforceable. And so you have to really question, you have to triage the moment and decide, can you really even do something like this? Not only is it going to have to pass constitutional muster, it has to also be practical in its application. And there is zero practicality in this.
There is. I mean, for example, you look at the public health order that the New Mexico Secretary of Department of Public Health, which actually issued the law-abiding citizens' firearm restrictions, and you know, they say, "Well, gee, you know, you're going to be subject to civil and administrative penalties if you violate this." They don't know what those are. The average citizen doesn't. This thing is unconstitutional on so many levels, including the vagueness in whether or not it puts a citizen on notice, what they would be subject to, what sort of penalty. I can't imagine that either the governor or the secretary of public health in New Mexico could sign these things with a straight face. I mean, it's just so blatantly unconstitutional, both in terms of its substance and its process, that hopefully they won't withstand the challenges that have already been filed against them.
Well, Congressman, listen, I appreciate you making time for us today, especially on short notice. I appreciate your service to conservatism and to this country. And my audience here at Right Side Radio, they identify as Right Side Ruffians, so we're going to declare you an honorary Right Side Ruffian.
I appreciate that very much, Phil, and look forward to being with you and your listeners again soon as we follow not just this, but other challenges to our constitutional liberties.
Good enough. Congressman Bob Barr, thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Phil.
Well, I ran that about a minute or two long, but let's go ahead and take the break right now. But listen, that was interesting to me. It just took a little bit of reaching out this weekend, and next thing I know, I had a member of the actual board of directors for the entire National Rifle Association. And I appreciate him making time for this. But it's organizations like the NRA and Gun Owners of America and some of the others that's why we join these associations, so they can stand in the gap for us at times. This is one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.